Today's shiur is Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Yud. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Tes Amud Beis, the last words in the Amud. We continue discussing the halacha palgin and the bura, the halacha of taking one statement that somebody makes and dividing it into two. Amar Rava, Plani Ba Alishti, if somebody comes to Besdin and says that this individual had an adulterous relationship with my wife, Mitzdarfin, we allow him to be an aid, Lahargoy, regarding the testimony he's saying about this individual who had an adulterous relationship with a married woman, Avaloy Laharga, but he can't be believed regarding the testimony that he said about his wife. And of course, this is another example of Palgin and Dabur that we discussed in our previous year, that we accept his testimony regarding the wife, but regarding the man who did this, but not we don't accept his relation, accept his testimony regarding his wife. So the Meiri says a very interesting psak. He says this halacha that we're learning now, that we say Palgin and the Bura, depends how this statement of testimony was said. If the way it was said, Ploini Ba'alishti, so that's a statement that could be divided into two. And that's exactly what the halacha tells us to do, says the Gemara. We accept his testimony regarding the Ploini. We don't accept his testimony regarding Ishti. But says the Meiri that if the way it was said was Zanisa Mishti, so there's no way to divide that statement into two. In a case where the statement cannot be divided into two, then we don't say Palgin and Debura. And as we're about to learn, since he's not believed regarding his wife, he's also not believed regarding the Ploini. He does say that there are those that disagree with this, and they say that we can't divide the statement no matter how the statement was said. But ask the Gemara, my Kamashmon, what has Rava just taught us? That we say Palgin and Debura, that we could divide the statement into two. Says the Gemara, isn't that what we just learned in our previous year? Hainu hach, and we discussed in our previous year where somebody said Proini Lirvani Lirtsoini, that we divide the statement into two. So what is being taught here that hasn't been learned in the previous year? Answers the Gemara Matatayma, Adam Karv Eitzel Atzmei Minin. A person cannot say testimony which incriminates himself. However, Eitzel Ishtei Lo Yaminin, but regarding testimony that affects his wife, we won't say Palgin Debura. And therefore, if we trust him regarding what he's saying regarding this Ploini, he should be trusted regarding Ishti as wife as well. Kamash Malan, that no, we don't believe in what he says about the wife, and we have to apply the concept of Palgin and Debura. So many Rishonim, of course, asked the question, what was the Gemara's Havamina that we would be able to believe a person's testimony regarding his wife? So Rashi says that of course a person is not trusted, is not able to say testimony regarding his wife for good or for bad. But here, we're not just applying it in a regular sense that you can or you can't say testimony. Here, the way it's being applied is with the concept of Palgin Debura. And what we would think is that just like he can't say testimony, that just like we believe him regarding the Ploini, then we should believe him regarding the wife. That's what teaches us the Gemara, that no, we do say Palgin Debura, and we're going to believe him regarding the Ploini, and we don't believe him regarding the wife. There are those that say that just the other way, because the Yad Ramah has a different approach, because the halacha is that if somebody's wife has an adulterous relationship willingly, she becomes usur to him, she becomes prohibited to him. So therefore, we would say that in this case, with this testimony, since his wife is going to become Ostin with this testimony, he's not trusted that we should not, he's trusted not only regarding the boil, but regarding the wife. Teaches us the Gemara that at this point she's still his wife, and therefore, since she's still his wife, he can't be trusted regarding his wife. There's another approach in the Rishonim. Yesterday, when we spoke about the halacha of Palgin and the Bura, we quoted the question that many Rishonim ask, that why don't we apply the concept of Eidus Shebatla Miktasa of Batla Kula? And therefore, in the case that we learned yesterday, when somebody said Poloni Yervani Lerutsoini, since he's not considered an aid, for his, the aidus that he said regarding himself is not belief, so therefore the aidus they should say regarding the other person should also become disqualified, because Eidus Shebatla Miktasa Batla Kula. And the way we answered the question in our previous year was that the aidus that one says about oneself is not considered aidus. And since it's not considered at all aidus, we don't apply here the concept of aidus shebatla miktasa batla kula. But maybe when one is saying testimony regarding his wife, maybe it should be considered testimony, just it should be considered testimony that is disqualified. And if that's the way we're going to look at it, then if it is aidus, then we should, instead of using the concept of Palgin and the Bura, perhaps we should use the concept of Eidus Shebatla Miktasa Batla Kula. Teaches us the Gemara that no, that just like when one says testimony about himself, as we explained, it's not considered Eidus, because when you speak about yourself, you can't be an aid. Since there's a concept of Ishto Kigufay, so when you say testimony about your wife, it has the same halacha, that it's not at all considered testimony. And since it's not at all considered testimony, it's not going to be a situation where we're going to apply the concept of Eidus Shebatla Miktasa Batla Kula. This Gemara, again, the Achronim say, is a raya that one could say testimony even about an enemy. Because when somebody is coming to say testimony that this person had an adulterous relationship with his wife, obviously there's a terrible hatred, dislike by the person who's saying the testimony to this individual. And yet, the halacha is that we're learning that he could say the testimony. Which is interesting, because the Mishnah on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis actually brings a machloikis if somebody's eligible to say testimony about a son or somebody he hates. So isn't this Gemara a raya that you may? Says the Mashah, there's a difference to what level of an enemy one is. Only when somebody is a son or gomer, what we would probably call an arch enemy. That means if somebody tried to murder someone. If somebody tried to murder someone, the person who was the victim, obviously the murderer is an arch enemy. But in Al Gemara, even though obviously he's an enemy, but it's not to the same level. And since it's not to the same level, he can't say testimony. That's the approach of the Marshal. The Marik says, no, obviously somebody who had adultery, who did adultery with somebody else's wife, is his arch enemy. And therefore, since his arch enemy, yet Al Gemara is accepting the testimony. So we see, says the Marik, that the Marshal's approach is incorrect. The Margolius Hayam attempts to defend the opinion of the Mashal. He says, even though somebody has obviously good reason to despise his wife's adulterer, but since Reuven and this, since the person was saying the testimony and the adulterer were not enemies from beforehand, then the halacha is, since they weren't enemies from beforehand, the court has no reason to suspect that this person fabricated the entire story. He says when the Marshal said his opinion, that it's only not just that this person is an enemy, an arch enemy, but he's an old arch enemy. He's an arch enemy from before. But in our case, where he may be what we would call a Soine Gomorrah, an arch enemy, but there's no history to it, that's why the Mashal may be correct. That's how the Magoyos Hayam attempts to defend the Mashal. The Marik says that the Marik obviously holds that even though they have no history, but simply the fact that he saw that this person did such a terrible thing, that makes him into an arch enemy. And therefore the Marik says that our Gemara must be following the opinion that one can't say a testimony about a Soine. One of the things that we've been learning throughout our shiurim is that somebody who's an Egei Bedover, somebody who's a relative, or somebody who's saying about himself, cannot be an aid. And the Paiskim discuss a question that before Pesach, when Mechiras Chometz is done, so the question is, the document which the Mechiras Chometz is done with is signed by people. The question is, can one ask if a Rav is selling the Chometz to a Nachri, and can the Rav ask people who sold Chometz with this Rav, who are included in that shtar, to be Edom on the shtar? That those that suggest that they can't, because it's a shtar that's relevant to them. But some suggest that the reason the Sefer Shaul's Tshuvas Kinyan Torah B'Halacha, Chelek Bei Simen Tzad Gimel, discusses this halacha, the Shaila, and he says that when somebody is saying testimony, is this case, and the only reason he's saying the testimony is because he wants to fulfill a mitzvah. In that case, since it's, and we have the rule of mitzvah slav lahenes nitnu, they're not saying testimony where they have any benefit other than being able to fulfill the mitzvah of not having chametz on Pesach. There, the rule of Adam Karva Eitzel Atzmai, where a person is relevant, he's a negei bedover, the halacha is not relevant, and they could be edim on the shtar. Another explanation is that the need for having edim on the shtar is not absolutely necessary. The halacha is that you could have the shtar mechiras chametz, where the Rav sells the chametz to the Nachri, doesn't really require halachically edim on it. When would the signature of edim be a problem? It's where the halacha demands edim, getting married, getting divorced, etc. Here the halacha does not demand edim. And since the halacha doesn't demand edim, that's why these people, even though they are part of the group that is selling the chametz with the shtar, it's not a problem. V'amarava, plenty bal nara marasa. If somebody to edim came to Besdin and say this man had a relationship with a nara marasa, and then huzmu, those edim became muzum, which other edim come and say, how could you possibly be saying this testimony? Imano yisem, you were with us elsewhere at that time. The halach is naragim, because what they wanted to do was that they wanted to cause this girl to get killed, Nar Marasa, that's Mazanis Chayv Skila, and therefore Sisalai Kasha Zoma Lasis Lachav, they will get killed. They Mishama Mammon, but they also wanted to deprive the father of the Ksuba. They wanted to deprive the Ksuba, so the Allah is, since they did not identify which is the girl, so they weren't trying to deprive any specific girl, because all they said was that this person did this kind of an act, but they didn't say who the girl was. And since they didn't say who the girl was, there's no financial element to their testimony, and therefore there's no hazam, that they don't have to pay that money they were trying to deprive. However, if they identified the girl, if they said Bita Shaplani, that this was the girl who was the Nam Marasa, and then they were huzmo, naragim, because they wanted to cause that this man and woman who were part of this adulterous relationship should get killed, and mishama mamon, because because they wanted to deprive the father of the ksuba that he would have been entitled to. As we said in our previous year, it's the ksuba that he wanted to deprive, but they don't, but they're not obligated to pay the entire value of the ksuba, because we cannot be certain that this girl would have ever collected the ksuba. What would have been if she died before her husband? If she died before her husband, then she's not entitled to ksuba. So she's only in, the only amount that's paid is the toivus hanor of the ksuba. And why won't we say, as the Gemara asks, why won't we say that this should be a case of kinlei v'derabanei? If they're getting killed, why should they also have to pay? Says the Gemara, because mamon lezeh v'nefashos lezeh. The case here is that the nefashos are because of the adulterer and the adulteress, and the mamon is because of the father. V'amar Rava, Pliny Rava Shar, if two Adam walk into Bezin and say that this man had relationships with an animal, and then Huzmu, Nerogim, because they wanted to cause that this person that they claim did this Avera should be killed, because that is the punishment for having a relationship with an animal. They mishal mamon, but there is no financial part, because they didn't say which is the animal that he did this with. So the Hagos Yoivitz says that of course they have to know which is the animal that this was done with. Because if we discussed in our previous shurim how far the halacha goes with determining all the details that Edom have to know, if the Edom can't identify with which animal this aveira was done, they're certainly disqualified. But they don't have to identify it as part of their testimony. However, if they said that this was done with Shoresh Aplani, that this was the animal with which this act was done, and then the husband, then they become Edom Zamimim, then the halach is Narogim Shama Mamon. Mam Lazer, they wanted to deprive the father of the owner of the animal because the animal, even though the animal is an animal, the halach is that the animal is put to death. And also Nefashos Lazer, because they wanted to cause that the man should be killed, the person they said who did the Aveira. Ask the Gemara, but aren't these two cases that we just learned identical? Aren't these two cases identical? Answers the Gemara, Bishum the Kabbalah, because Rava said, answers the Gemara, Rava answered this question, said this way, because he wanted to ask a question. The Bai Rava asked the question, Pliny Rava Shari. If somebody walked in and said that this person had a relation, did this with my animal, Mahu, will a person be believed to offer this type of a testimony? Mi amrinan, Adam Karva Eitzel Atzmai. Yes, we've been learning how a person can't say testimony that affects himself, but Ein Adam Karva Eitzel Atzmai, that doesn't apply when he's speaking about his animal. Oy Dilma, amrinan Adam Karva Eitzel Atzmai. Just like a person can't say testimony about himself, we can't say testimony about something that he owes. And the way the Rishonim explain this Gemara, the Yad Ramah explains this Gemara, how can we say that a person can't say testimony about something that he owns? Isn't one of the principles about that we learn throughout Shas, that Haidos Baldin Kamei Edom Dami, that a person admits that he owes money, he has to pay it. So isn't that clearly an indication that an Adam can't say testimony about his mammon? So the Yad Ramah says, yes, of course there's a din of hados baldin kamei edom dami, and a person could say testimony about his that will incriminate him, and will have to pay what he says he owes. But here it's not a question of mammon; it's a question that the animal is going to, as we said, going to be put to death, and since the animal is going to be put to death, that's why the halacha is that maybe we say Adam Karv Eitz L'Mamonai and he can't say testimony. Rashi explains, the entire question here is, will he be believed regarding his animal? But regarding the Pliny, he certainly will be believed. Why? Because Rashi says, as we've been learning throughout, we apply the concept of Palgina Debura. And he won't, if we say that he can't say testimony about his animal, he can't say testimony about the animal, but that doesn't prevent him to say testimony regarding the person, we'll say Pelgin and the Bura. The Rosh, quoting the Ravid, says no. If he can't say testimony regarding his animal, then here we won't be able to say Pelgin and the Bura, that he won't be an aid at all, and we won't believe him at all. Says the Gemara Bas Dabaya, after Rava asked the question, Ha the Pashta, Adam Karav Eitzel Atzmai, this concept of Adam Karav Eitzel Atzmai, we say regarding yourself, Ven Adam Karav Eitzel Atzmai, and therefore he will be believed on the Pliny, and he believed on the animal. We learned in the Mishnah, Makas B'Shloisha, that a Din Torah that involves Makas, we have three Dayonim. Says the word not immediately, Amra Funa Amakra, because the Pasuk says, Kiyeh Reb Ben Enoshim, V'nikshu Al HaMishpat Shvatim Atzikwas Atzadik V'Rashiyus HaRosha, Shvatim is a Loshim Rabim, which means Shnayim, that means a minimum of two, Ein Bezdin Shokel, we know we never have an even number of Dayonim, Mesifin Olem Oir Echad, so we add one more Dayin, Harei Kan Shloisha, that's how we have three Dayonim. But ask the Gemara, if you're learning from this Pasuk, the Pasuk continues to say, V'Tzdiku Es Atzadik, which should indicate that we should have Shnayim, another two Dayanim. And then the Pasuk continues to say, Vershius Arosha, which would include Shnayim, another two Dayanim, which would be six. And then because we can't have an even number, we have Rekan Sheva, we would have to have seven Dayanim. Answers the Gemara, the Tzdikvas Atzadik Vershius Arosha is needed for a different purpose. Hahu, Mibay Leich De'ula. Dama Ula, Remez L'Einim Zomim Min Atar Menayim. Where do we find the halach of Eidim Zomim in the Torah? So the Gemara asks, Vaksiv, the Pasuk says explicitly, Vasisim Lakasha Zomim Lasis Lachiv. So the question is that can't be what Ula meant. And the Mechas Chinuch says, the Ramban says, that even though the Gemara Ula is saying the Remez, that this what we're going to learn is a remez, it should not be treated as a remez, it should be treated as a din deraisa. Says the Gemara, Ela remez l'edim zaymim shaloikim minayim. There are going to be situations where eid zaymim, we cannot fulfill the din of asisim l'kasha zaymim l'asas lochav. As we've been learning, asisim l'kasha zaymim means that whatever punishment they intended to make that the other person should have, should happen to them. Now, the example that the Gemara often uses is where somebody says that this individual is a Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutza. His father is a Kayan who married a woman who he wasn't supposed to marry. That the halacha is that the child is a Cholol. And when it turns out what they were, Edom Zomimim, we can't make them into chalolim if they're not kohanim. That the halacha is, in such a case, they get malchus. How do we know that? Because the pasuk says, "V'tzdiku es atzadik v'rashiyus harasha." So the question in understanding the pasuk is, "Meshum that tzdiku es atzadik v'rashiyus harasha." The pasuk says, "V'hayu ben hakus rasha." The pasuk continues, "They'll get malchus." So the question is, what is this pasuk coming to teach us? Ella, it's coming to teach us, "Eidem rashiyu es atzadik." Adam wanted to say somebody who's a tzaddik did an aveira. And then also Adam Achrinav Etzdik was a tzaddik. And then other Adam came and said, no, he didn't do anything wrong. The person who was a tzaddik has been the tzaddik all along. And therefore, Vishavinu, Hani Rishoyim, the people who said that they did something, that he did something wrong, are Rishoyim. And we can't do Vasisim Loi Kai Shasazomim. There, V'hayim ban ha'kas ha'rasha, they will get malchus. However, Rashi points out that only in a case like this, where the v'asisim l'kash ha'zomim lasis, that's the only case where they get malchus. But if we can fulfill the v'asisim l'kash ha'zomim lasis lochiv, and in such a case, then we don't give, then we would not give malchus, we'll just give the punishment. The Michas Chinuch points out, however, there's going to be a case of Edom Zomimim that won't even get malchus. If they, this two Edom came and said they saw the new moon, a sugi that we're going to be studying extensively soon, and two other Edom made them into Edom Zomimim, that is not a case even where the people who said the original testimony were making a tzaddik or a rasha. When does the pasuk here say that there's going to be Malchus? When you wanted to turn the tzaddik into a rasha. Here, that's not the case, and therefore, there won't even be Malchus. Ask the Gemara, but why should we use this pasuk to say that there's Malchus? But typically, why shouldn't we say that they get Malchus? Because of the pasuk of Lesana Bariecha, Eit Shaker. Answers the Gemara, Mishun Dava Leit Lav Shevi Maisa. This saying testimony, false testimony, is Lav Shevi Maisa. And as we're going to learn in Masech the Malchus, Mitzvah Shem, Kolav Shein Vemaisa, a lav that there's no act involved, ain't loikin. So the Achrayim ask that why is saying testimony considered a lav shein vemaisa? Because testimony could also be offered in writing. So since testimony can be offered in writing, ask the Achrayim, that is certainly considered a maisa. There's a discussion if speaking is a maisa, but writing is certainly a maisa. So the Michas Chinuch answer, the Noda Behuda answers, that even though testimony can be offered in writing, it's not the writing that's the testimony, it's the reading of the testimony, the accepting of the testimony, which is the testimony, and that's a lav shein v'maisa. However, as we learned, Mishum Rav Shmuel Amru, that when we have a din Torah that involves Malchus, Bas Mishloisha, we have to have 23 Dayonim. Ask the Gemara, my Talmud Rav Shmuel, what is the basis for Rav Shmuel's Pesach? Regarding somebody who's chayv mises bezdin ashu rasha lomus mala halan, just like in a case, a capital case, as we learned in our mishnah at the beginning of the masechta, but bezdin v'shloisha, you have to have 23 members on that bezdin. Afkan bezdin v'shloisha. Rava gives a different reason why Rabbi Shmuel holds that a din Torah of Malchus requires a bezdin of 23 dayonim. He says, Malchus b'mokam misa imedis. Malchus is in the place of misa. So Rashi says that a person who violates what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said should be chayiv misa's bezdin. The Torah said that Malchus will be sufficient. And therefore, Malchus is considered a form of a misa's bezdin. And since we just learned Mises Bezdin is 23, so too is Malchus. Tosfos gives two other pshatim. Tosfos says that by Akum, any aveira that an Akum is not allowed to do, if he violates it, the loch is as horosom zui misosom, where they violate it, they chai misa. So therefore, what the Gemara means to say is, Malchus, when Klal Yisrael gets Malchus, it's b'mokam misa, in such a case, if an Akum were to violate a Aveira, he would be Chayiv Misa. And therefore, the Aloch is that Malchus should get, the Aloch is Malchus B'Mokam Misa. Another Pshat that Tosfos offers is that if the person would die with Malchus, then it would be fine. And therefore, it's Malchus B'Mokam Misa. But as Tosfos himself points out, these pshatim that he offered are not easy to understand with the question the Gemara asks. Because Amar of Acha b'Rei de Rava l'Rav Ashi, Yehocha umdan l'amali. The halacha is, as we're going to learn in Masechta Malchus, if somebody is chayiv Malchus, we have to evaluate if he can absorb all 39 Malchus. Why should we do that? L'michye, let's give him the Malchus. Maas, lamus, and if he'll die. Amalei, to which he answered, Amakra, the pasuk says, V'nikla chichalei necha, the kimachas agab de chaymeis. We should give it to a person who is alive. And once he dies, he's not considered a chicha. And there's a very big discussion here in the Achroinim. Here, our Gemara says that once a person is no longer alive, he's not considered a chicha. Whereas the Gemara Masechta Yevamos, when we speak about the halacha of Yibum and Chalitza, clearly indicates that a person after he dies retains the relationship of being a brother. So how do we say that it's not considered a chicha? Says the Gemara that, so the Rishash asked this question, and the Rishash says there's a difference in what context we consider him a brother. As far as being a person who's alive, and a person, when we're speaking about the person that died, the person who died no longer is related to anyone anymore. But here we're not speaking about the person who died. Here we're speaking about his relationship with others. When we speak about his relationship with others, that word of achicha remains even after he dies. And therefore, the Chashuki Chemed uses this concept to paskin the following shaila. Somebody wrote a will, and the way he wrote the will was that he says that he's leaving over certain assets to his brothers. But the question is that he had a brother who was no longer alive. And the question is, are the brothers who are no longer alive still considered brothers? And the answer really depends on what we just discussed. If we say that the relationship, as far as other people are concerned, as what is discussed extensively in Masechet Yevamos, he is considered still a chicha, so then he is still considered a brother, and those brothers who are already no longer here will be included. Because the achicha that the Gemara here says, he's not an achicha, is only as far as he himself is concerned. Ask the Gemara another question. Oh, the Tanya, the Braisa teaches us, Amdul Kabal Esrim. So we did the evaluation, and we determined that this person could absorb 20 Malkus. A Malkusoi, the halacha is we only give Malkus, Raruil Ishtalish, Malkus that could be divided in three, the Kamahain. So in this case, where the person could only get 20 Malkus, the halacha is we'll give him Tamnisari, we'll only give him 18 Malkus. But ask the Gemara, why? Limchaya Esr V'chada, let's give him 21 Malkus. He only could take 20. V'chimayis B'chada, B'ha'chada, when he'll die because of that 21st Malkah, it doesn't make a difference. The 20 Malkus that we gave were on person that was alive. And the fact that he died should not bother us because we say Malkus for Malkah Misai Medis. Amalei, sort of Ashi responds, Damakra, the Pasuk says, that the Torah requires that Acha Shaloka, after the person received the Malkus, Achicha Bina, he should still be here alive. And if he's not going to be alive after the Malkus that I've given, then we haven't done the mitzvah properly. We begin now the sugya of Kiddush HaChodesh, of how the Jewish month works, and Ibra Shana, how the Jewish year works. So, as we often learn, the Gemara Masechta Rosh Hashanah, the Pasuk says, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Reish Chadashim, the Jewish months are determined by the new moon. The new moon is represented with the Maalid, when the new moon comes out. The amount of days that there are, the amount of time that there are between two Maalids are 29 days, 12 hours, and 793 Chalokim. So that really the way it should be is that every Rosh Chodesh should be 29 and a half days from the previous Rosh Chodesh. The reason it's not that way is because the Gemara teaches us Yom Atamayna V'Loshos. We count days, we don't count hours. A month is measured in the unit of days, not in the moon, not in the unit of hours. So therefore, we have some months that are 29 days, which is really short because it's not yet the new moon. And we have some months which are 30. And then sometimes, because, as we said, it's really not exactly 29 and a half, because of that, sometimes we have to have an extra a month with an extra day to make that up. There are other reasons. So that there are other reasons sometimes to manipulate the months. There's a halacha of lo yadu rosh. Rosh Hashanah should never be on a Sunday, Wednesday, on a Friday. And if Beis Din sees that that's going to happen, they manipulate the months. The Beis Din does what they have to do, as we just said, under the circumstances. But we always should have a year of 8 months that are 30 days and 4 months that are 4 days. Everything that we just said is when Beis Din was the one that was in control of making the decision when Rosh Chodesh is. But in the world that we live in, Hillel established a calendar, and the calendar is in effect according to the calculation of Hillel, because we don't have Beis Din accepting Edom. So we learned in the Mishnah, Ivra Chodesh B'Shloisha, says the Gemara, Chishiv Lo Ktani, the calculation wasn't mentioned in the Mishnah, and as the Rishonim point out, that even though, as we just said, in the time of the in the time of Chazal, or the time of the Beis HaMikdash, it was determined by Beis Din with Edom, but Beis Din had to make the calculation that we just mentioned. They didn't want Rosh Hashanah to fall on the wrong day, or they didn't want to have too many months that were 30 days or too few months that were 4 days. So there was always a calculation mentioned. Kiddush Lo Ktani, that the halacha is that Beis Din says that the when it's Rosh Chodesh, El Iba. The Mishnah speaks about Beis Din making the Iber. But ask the Gemara, why do we need a Beis Din to say it's a 30-day month? Loy Lakacha, if Beis Din won't make the 29th day, if Beis Din won't make day 30 Rosh Chodesh, if Beis Din won't make day 30 the first day of the next month, automatically, since there is no Jewish month that is longer than 30 days, Memele Laber, the next day will automatically be Rosh Chodesh. Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaya, Tani. Indeed, what we should learn in the Mishnah is Kiddush HaChodesh. When Beis Din wants to make a day Rosh Chodesh, we have to say Mekodesh, and that's what the Mishnah means. Tanya Nami Hachi, and so too says the Gemara is taught in the Braisa, Kiddush HaChodesh Riba Hashana B'Shloisha Divrei Remeya. The Braisa uses the words Kiddush HaChodesh. Ask the Gemara, Amar Rava V'Iba Ketani, says the Gemara, the Mishnah used the word Iber, and the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara is that, yes, we find often in Shas that the Gemara has to change a word, but to say that instead of using the word Iber, the word Kiddush was used, that isn't acceptable. And that, for the Teret, just to change, that we're supposed to say Kiddush and we're changing it to Iber, is unacceptable. Ela Marava, when the Tana said a Kiddush B'Yoyim Iber, if you're going to make Rosh Chodesh on day 30, B'Shloisha. That means if Rosh Chodesh is going to be identified that the first day of the new moon, of the new month, is going to be day 30 of the previous month, which is called in Halacha the Yoyim Iber, the Beis Din has to make that declaration, and the declaration has to be done by Beis Din saying Mekodesh. Achi Iber, but if it's going to be day 31, Lekha Kiddush, there's no reason for it. Because Mani, whose opinion is our Mishnah following? It's a following the opinion of Rabbi Lozer Betzadiki, the Tan Rabbi Lozer Betzadik Omer Imloinir Bezmanoi. If we're not making Rosh Chodesh on day 30, a Mekachnoisoi, there's no reason to go through the procedure. The halach already became Rosh Chodesh automatically from the day. It already became Rosh Chodesh automatically from the day before. Rav Nachman says Kiddush Acher Iba B'Shloisha. If Rosh Chodesh is on day Rosh Chodesh is on day 31, then the halach is we have to do Kiddush HaChodesh. The reason we have to do Kiddush HaChodesh is because that's not really the day it should be Rosh Chodesh. However, B'yayim Iber, if day one is day 30 of the previous month, Lekha Kiddush. Umani, whose opinion is that? Plimai. That represents the opinion of Plimai, The Tanya Plima Oimer Bezmanoi on day 30, Eimakachin Isoi. There's no reason to go through the procedure. It's automatic. Vishloi Bezmanoi, if Rosh Chodesh is going to be on day 31 of the previous month, then the Aloch is, if day 31 of the 30th Mekachin Isoi, since it's not really the day it's supposed to be, we have to go through this procedure. Rav Ashi Amal Oilam Chishuv Ktari. My Iber, what is meant when the Mishnah says Iber? Chishuv the Iber. The calculation, if we should make the month a 30-day month or a 29-day month. And why did the Kaila Misni? So why if it's Chishuv, why did the Mishnah use the word either? Because the Mishnah is going to use the word Iber by the halacha of making the year into a leap year. That's why when it speaks about the months, it uses the same word, Taninami Iber Chodesh. Chishuv Chodesh in, ask the Gemara, when the Mishnah says that we need three dayonim, we need them only for the calculation, Kiddush Chodesh Loi, but for the pronouncement, we don't. Whose opinion is that? Mani Rebbe Lazi, the Tanya Rebbe Lazi, Omer, Bein Bezmanai, Bein Shloi Bezmanai, whatever day is declared Rosh Chodesh, Ein Mekachin Isoi. There's no reason to go through this procedure. Shanam V'Kadash Mishnas Chamishim Shana, Shana At Mekadosh. There's a halacha that you have to pronounce the Yovel year as the Yovel year, V'Yat Mekadosh Chodoshim, but you need not do that by Rosh Chodesh. The halacha is that if somebody did not say Yalav Yovel at night, he doesn't have to say over Shemen Esrei. And the reason, the Gemara Masechta Brachis, that Flamar Mabez teaches us, because we're not Mekadosh Rosh Chodesh at night. So therefore, even if tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, they wouldn't have declared the Beis Din, would not have declared it Rosh Chodesh till tomorrow morning. And therefore, if you missed Yalav Yovel tonight, you need not repeat it. Says Tosfos, that's an understanding only on the first night of Rosh Chodesh. Because as we've been learning throughout our shir, Rosh Chodesh could either be day 30, the first day of the next month could be either day 30 or day 31 of the previous month. So if it wasn't on day 30, it's for sure going to be 31. If it's for sure going to be day 31, so that at night of day 31 it's Rosh Chodesh. So the halacha ought to be, says Tosfos, that if you miss Yalav Yovel on the night of day 31, if that's Rosh Chodesh, should have to repeat Yalav Yovel. So the answer to this question is really very fundamental. Yes, as we've learned in our sugya, if Rosh Chodesh is on day 31, the first opinion we learned was there's no reason even to declare it Rosh Chodesh. It becomes Rosh Chodesh automatically. What does it mean that it becomes Rosh Chodesh automatically? When we say it becomes Rosh Chodesh automatically, what it means to say is that in Shemayim, Beis Din Shemala made it in Rosh Chodesh. But when does the Beis Din Shemala make it into Rosh Chodesh? The Beis Din Shemala only makes it into Rosh Chodesh in the morning. And therefore, since Beis Din Shemala, indeed it becomes automatically Rosh Chodesh, but that's only in the morning. So the Avni Nezer has a discussion. We said at the beginning of our discussion here that our Rosh Chodesh is already predetermined from the time of Hillel. So that means every time we already know when it's going to be Rosh Chodesh. So then we should have to say Yalav Yovel over at night, because we know for sure it's going to be Rosh Chodesh. We're not waiting till to the morning. So the Avni Nezer says that even though Hillel made this calculation, and we know for when Rosh Chodesh will always be, it doesn't actually become Rosh Chodesh just based on the calculation. We have to wait for the morning of Rosh Chodesh for it to become Rosh Chodesh. And this Gemara is the basis for, while we know every month, the Shabbos before we have Birkas HaChodesh, Shabbos Mevarchim, and the point of that Shabbos Mevarchim is to be a zecher for the Kiddush HaChodesh that took place in Beis Din. And that's why the halacha requires that by when we say Birkas HaChodesh, we should stand. And I saw the Paiskim explain that even though the Beis Din, who declared Rosh Chodesh, sat, but everybody who was in the audience stood. And we who are in the audience by Birkas HaChodesh correspond to the audience that were in the Beis Din, just like they stood at the time that audience stood, we also should stand. Rav Shimon Gamaliel Omer, we begin with three, then we continue to five, and then seven. Tanya Ketzad, Omer Rav Shimon Gamaliel, Shloisha Maschilim, we're talking about a Iber Shana. We start with three Dayanim. Chamisha Nois V'Naisim, we deliberate with five. The Gomrim B'Sheva, and then we finish with seven. But there's a very big Machlokas Rishonim. The Yad Ramah says that if the three Dayanim who began the deliberation are all in agreement that we should make it into a Iber year, a leap year, that we don't have to add five to seven. Only in a case where there's a discussion, and that's when we go through this procedure. The Meiri, the Ran disagrees. He says that we always have to have this procedure of 3, 5, 7. The Meiri says that there is a difference. When there's agreement by the original three, we just bring four immediately to end up with seven. When there is not agreement by the original three, that's when we go with this procedure, first three, then five, then seven. Echad oy meleshev, if one of the yadim say that this should be deliberated, v'shnayim oymrim loy leshev, there's no question, it shouldn't be a leap year, but l'yochev b'miyutay, and we just disregard what he says. On the other hand, shnayim oymrim leshev, if two say it should be a leap year, v'echad oymrim loy leshev, there's no question, that's Mesifan Lem Archnaim. We add two more Dayanim, Venaisim and Naisim Adover, and we deliberate. If Shnaim Oimer Tzricha, if two say it should be a leap year, Vishloish Oimer and Tzricha, it should not be a leap year, but Lua Shnaim and Mutim, the two are disregarded, and it's not a leap year. If Shloish Oimer Tzricha, that it should be a leap year, Vishnaim Oimer and Tzricha, and two say it should not be a leap year, Mesifan Lem Archnaim, we add two more. Shein Minyan, we have to have Pach Meshiva, we have to have seven at the end. Hani asked the Shloish V'Chamisha Shiva Kenegami, what do these numbers represent? Pligi Bar Rabbi Yitzchak Ben Nachmani V'Chadi Imei. V'Amanu, who was the one that disagreed? V'Shimon Pazi. V'Amalei, it was Rav Shimon Ben Pazi that argued V'Chadi Imei, and who was it? Rabbi Yitzchak Nachmani. Charama Keneg Birkos Kahanim. If we look at the Birkos Kahanim, there are three psukim. The first pasuk has three words. The second pasuk has five words, and the last pasuk has seven words. The Chadamar Shloisha Kenege Shemri Asaf. The pasuk says Betzitkiyo there were three gods. Chamisha it says there were Betzitkiyo Roy Pnei Melech and Shiva were Miroy Pnei Melech and Shiva Pnei Melech. So the Mefarshim explain what does this represent. There's three psukim of the Birkas Kahanim. Each one has more psukim. And so too, we're giving a bracha to Klal Yisrael that they should constantly increase, they constantly should increase their bracha. The other mandomer said it's corresponding to just like there is malchus in this world and there are attendants around the malchus, so too, are they going to be, that's what Beis Din represents when they're being Mekadosh HaKadosh. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbi Yosef, Hani Shloish V'Chamish V'Shiva that we have by the Iba Shoyimna, Shloish Keneged Shoyim Resaf, Chamish Miroi Pnei Melech, Shiva Roi Pnei Belech. Amalei Bayi Rabbi Yosef, Ada Idna, my Tamalei Parash Lomar Hachi, why didn't you ever teach us this lesson? Amalehu, Lo Yavidana Tzrichsu, I never knew that you didn't notice. Me, Milsa, was there ever a situation where you asked me something, and I wasn't prepared to answer? I didn't answer because you never asked.